Okay, folks, welcome to this edition of My Car Guru. This is Lenny Lawson, the Car Guru, and I've got some confessions to make on this show. I just never thought that I would be able to pay almost $300 for a cooler, but I got jealous of my neighbors at the campground where we were staying in Cincinnati. Yes, I was camping and using an old Coleman cooler. And apparently you're not cool if you go with Coleman. That's not anything really against Coleman. You know, Coleman makes a lot of different things. As a matter of fact, the camper across from me was a Coleman camper. I wonder if that's the same company. But anyway, my cooler was very subpar in terms of its ability to keep the ice from melting. And I have been told, now I have a Yeti, several different Yetis, you know, the tumblers, and they do hold ice cold for a long time or hot. You know, it works well with both temperature ranges, but I've been told that the Yeti cooler is just unbelievably good at keeping ice frozen in its frozen state. So anyway, my Coleman was keeping it in a liquid state. And that's not good. So we were able to, I was able to convince my wife that, yes, honey, we should buy a $299 cooler. So I went on this massive hunt around Cincinnati while we were camping up there, and they were all sold out, so that's the pandemic for you. So I ordered one on Amazon, which I hate to order anything on Amazon, but it came in, and I actually got to touch it today. It's heavy. It almost feels like it has ice in it already. But it does not. It is just heavy so that it will keep ice cold. So we'll see how it does. I'll give you a report on that. You know, the Center for Disease Control, or Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, have said that it's okay to go outside and breathe now, I think, without a mask on. I still marvel at people I see riding around in cars and they have masks on, even. You know, when the pandemic was raging, I didn't understand that. I wasn't going to do that. I had my limits. I'm not going to. But you know, if it's going to make somebody else feel uncomfortable, then you know, I was willing to wear it whenever somebody wanted me to. But you know, I try to be a good boy and wear the mask. But now we don't have to. If you've got the vaccine. And you have survived getting the vaccine. A lot of people worry about that, you know, not being able to make it, survive the vaccine itself. I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. I don't know. I've done pretty good. What did you have? I had the Pfizer, and I didn't even get phased by it. But who knows? Am I protected? I certainly hope so. I'm behaving like I am. Getting ready to go to Las Vegas to the Nissan meeting. We're going to see the all-new product line that they've got coming. We've already gotten most of them. The Pathfinder is all new, and it has started arriving at dealerships. Finally, we have something that we can compete in that three-row, you know, against the Explorer. Of course, we're a Ford dealer, so we sell Explorers. But, you know, Nissan, the old Pathfinder had gotten pretty old and without many changes. Well, the new one is all new, and reminds you, if you've seen the new Rogue, and you really like that, you're going to love the Pathfinder. So that's good. So, you know, the Kia Telluride has been selling like hotcakes. The Hyundai Palisade, you know, where they come up with these names, I don't know. The Telluride has been a big hit. Once I learned how to pronounce it, I started talking about it on the radio show. I thought it was Telluride, but that was not correct. So anyway, we now have a competitive three-row crossover that we'll be able to sell. But we are going to see the new Frontier, which I've already seen, the new Ariya, which is a new electric vehicle from Nissan, and then some other things that are coming down the road. I'm hoping they bring the Xterra back. You remember that, the Xterra? It was a kind of a off-road, more aggressive rear-wheel drive vehicle. I think most of them had V6 engines in them, but you know, that off-road thing is really hot now. You can tell with the Bronco and the way it's selling. So anyway, I'm still tracking this Bronco that was listed on eBay. It was up to, last time I checked, it was up to about $105,000. This is a $63,000 MSRP Bronco that some guy got in Tennessee and has already got it on eBay and is selling it for whatever it will bring. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody pays $120,000, $130,000 for that thing just to be, you know, have bragging rights with their other rich friends. I don't really understand that mentality. I do understand the guy wanting to sell it, though. I mean, if you can buy a vehicle for $60,000 and immediately flip it for more than double your money, I mean, that makes perfectly good sense. You know, is he ripping somebody off? Well, no. I mean, a vehicle is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it, right? And if somebody's willing to pony up, you know, 120,000 big ones or 120 big ones, then so be it. I mean, if that's what they want to do. So, you know, people are different, right? That's what my wife keeps telling me. So anyway, so we're going to be going to Las Vegas. I guess we'll have to wear a mask on the airplane, which I can do as long as it's comfortable. I hope there's no riots on the airplane. Seems like that's a big deal right now. Everybody's going bonkers on the airplane. I hope that doesn't happen. But we're going to do that. And then there's also a Ford show in Dallas that we're supposed to go to see some of the new Ford products, including the new Maverick. They're making a big deal out of the Maverick. I think they should. I think a really small truck like that is something that people are going to want to buy. I saw one on one of the magazines that I read, online magazines, had a picture of a Maverick with a one of those bed covers on it. Not you know, this the one that's flat, but the one that stands up, like these, I think Leonard used to make a lot of them. Doozy, I think, used to make. Doozy truck beds, I think, in Johnson City was a dealer for those things, and they sold the whiz out of them, but they've become unpopular for the most part. You don't see many of those anymore, but maybe the Maverick will bring it back, because they Ford thinks that a lot of people are going to buy that Maverick that are people who normally drive cars, and that they're going to can their little Corollas and Sentras and start driving a small truck that has a back seat. And I get it. You know, I really do understand why somebody could do that, especially when they invented these bed covers, these flip and fold bed covers. Those things make driving a truck, make it into a very sensible decision. So, you know, if you're one of your relatives gets a Maverick to replace their passenger car, don't give them a hard time at the reunion. Because it's probably a really good decision, or so says the car guru. Well, I'll be back here in just a second. Okay, I'm back. You know, used car sales are blistering hot. Specifically, you can look at AutoNation's numbers. They sold 152,000 used units in the first 6 months of the year. That's a 32.4% increase from the same period of 2020. And really, is that a fair comparison, though, you know, considering what was going on in 2020? Maybe for the first couple of months, but, you know, when all this fear started catching fire, I guess, because of the pandemic, it's not really fair to compare sales increases of this year to last year. I think they ought to compare them to the previous year. I do not have that number with me. They said used vehicle revenue, which is total dollar sales, were up 53.8%. Now, that's no surprise, because transaction prices on used cars, especially, I say cars, but I mean, you know what I mean, cars, trucks, and SUVs. It's just the whole kit caboodle, as my dad used to say. The truck market has just been on fire, and the availability has not been good. But the average selling price has skyrocketed as well. Gross profits on retail units, you can imagine if the selling prices are going up, the profits are going up. And so that's a 61.4% increase. But, you know, now they're talking about the average selling price for a car has edged over $40,000. That's luxury car territory, isn't it? Used to be. Maybe it's not so much anymore. How many used cars are sold per year, do you think? Now, I'm not talking about private transactions because there's no way to really know, but as far as auto dealers who have to report their sales, either, you know, to the state or to the manufacturer or feds, as the case may be, just over 40 million. So you're looking at 40 million used car sales versus about 18, 19 million in a really good year in the car industry for new car sales. So the used car market dwarfs the new car market. So a big part of knowing how to sell your car or what you should buy or what, as a dealer, what we should buy is knowing your market. I made a mistake a couple months ago. I bought a car because I thought it was cool looking. I mean, I had owned an Alfa Romeo. I'd owned two of them, the 4C, which is a little sports car. And, you know, it was I just thought it was an absolutely gorgeous car. It was the least expensive, complete, basically the least expensive carbon fiber bodied vehicle that you could buy. Most complete carbon fiber bodied cars are have names like Ferrari or Lamborghini. Even Porsche doesn't use 100% carbon fiber. They use a lot of it, and the reason they do is because it is a material that is stronger than steel, but extremely lightweight, weighs much less than steel does, and so it is used in a lot of high-end sports cars. So I had a couple Alfa Romeos and was able to drive them for a while, then turn around and sell them and do okay. I mean, make a little bit of money. You know, anytime you can buy something to play with and then keep it for a year or two and then turn around and sell it and not lose money, that's a pretty good thing. I mean, I wasn't in that to make a profit. I was in it to play with a really cool car for a while. But now that's not the case with the car that I bought. I bought a Alfa Romeo, Giulia, which is a four-door sedan that practically nobody has ever heard of but me. And so here we go, putting it, get it all detailed. All the salespeople are all fired up about it and can't wait to get it out there on the lot and sell it to somebody, and it just sits and sits and sits, and nobody wants it because nobody knows what it is. A Ford dealer, Ford Nissan dealer in Greenville, Tennessee, has got no business stocking an Alfa Romeo at their dealership. And so I knew better when I bought it. I had a slight tinge of buyer's remorse, but I felt like it was something that we could sell due to the nature of the internet and the fact that more than likely somebody would drive a long distance to buy that car. But, you know, if that wasn't enough, I decided to buy a Porsche as well, a Porsche Macan, which is a little SUV. And, you know, I really like those. They really sell well at Porsche dealers. But then bring it here and it sits and it sits and it sits. You know, sometimes you just get tired of buying Honda CRVs and Ford Escapes and, you know, just the everyday common cars that folks buy. But then, you know, you got to realize what your market is. And my market is not Porsche Macans and Alfa Romeos. And, of course, I knew that. And sometimes you will reach out and do something that just to kind of add a little color to your car lot. And at least that's my excuse anyway. But, you know, you really need to stick with what you know as a dealer. Now, as a consumer, you know, you're buying a car hopefully based on what you need and what you want and what you like, you know, what you enjoy driving. A vehicle that matches your lifestyle is what you should be looking for. But often we are all lured away from our mission and we stray and we end up going with something that is pretty or we think will be more exciting to drive when in fact it rides rougher. That pretty thing isn't as convenient. It doesn't have as much storage. It doesn't handle the luggage that we need to be able to carry. It won't tow what we need to tow. So many of that determines what we buy. Then when we try to sell it, then we have to find out, just like I do, I have to find out what the market is, where the market is for the particular vehicle that I'm trying to get rid of. So where, how do I get rid of an Alfa Romeo and a Porsche Macan? Well, I'm going to take it to the auction. And I'm not going to take it to a local auction. I'm going to take it to one where big city dealers will come and swoop in and rescue me from these two vehicles. The average customer doesn't know where to go with their vehicle when it's time to sell it. And that's understandable. Typically, they are going to take the path of least resistance, which is to go to a car dealer and trade it and settle for what that car dealer offers them. You know, we talk on this show a lot about research and how it's important to go online and find out what cars like yours are priced for online and what they're selling for. You know, KBB.com is a good place to go. Edmunds.com, NADA, also the National Auto Dealers Association Used Car Guide is accessible online. And so, you know, some people go to different websites and see how vehicles are priced, but that is a that is not the best thing to do because retail pricing by car dealers is just all over the map, and there is no formula for that. You know, what matters is what cars are bringing it at auction and in the real market, and that's what these book values tell us to do. But where do you go with your particular vehicle? I had a customer call me, sent me a text message about a vehicle that they had that they wanted to sell, and it was a, you know, 60s model era car, and it was you know, not a real popular car, and it had too many doors on it. It was a four-door. And under normal circumstances, I would probably be interested in that car. But like I say, it's not an exciting car to begin with, and it has too many doors. So where do you go with that drivable car from the 60s, you know, a little family sedan that you've had in your family forever, and it's time to sell it? Well, I always recommend folks just go to Facebook Marketplace first. If you're not a Facebook person, find somebody who is and post it on there, because I've sold a lot of cars on Facebook Marketplace. And you're going to see that the four-door cars are just not very popular. You know, sometimes if it has a good engine in it, like a good V8, sometimes the engine is worth more than the car itself. But it doesn't mean that you can't go trade it someplace. It doesn't mean that it doesn't have value. It's just that it's not worth much. You take even a Mustang, for example. If you take a coupe Mustang, which is the kind of a notchback, it's not a fastback, it's got a, you know, kind of a cutoff at the rear window, and if you compare that to a convertible Mustang, well, the convertible is going to be worth a lot more. The most valuable Mustang from the 60s and even the 70s is going to be a fastback Mustang, because that's what everybody wants. That's what all the guys who are, you know, resto modding these things and the collectors are out there looking for fastback Mustangs, especially 65 through maybe 68. The 69 and 70 Mustang was a different body style. All of those, well, I think they did make a notchback version, or just a coupe version. But they weren't popular at all. It's the fastbacks that everybody wants. And so, you know, where do you go if you have a coupe? Facebook Marketplace. You know, sometimes if it's really nice, if it's something that's been restored, sometimes you can market those effectively through some of the sources that I use. There are vintage car guides and books like Hemmings Motor News. You can go to Hemmings online. They have an auction site. They also have classified listings. But just be honest about your car. I mean, if you have a vehicle that is old and you haven't had it thoroughly inspected, then do so before you go try to sell it, because people can see right through a weak description, and you're going to be bombarded with questions. You need to go ahead and be prepared to tell somebody how much rust the vehicle has, if it has any. You know, what kind of modifications were done? Does it have a matching numbers as far as the engine and the body? Is it the engine that the car was born with? All of this stuff matters. And if you don't describe it right, then you're not going to get any serious buyers. So just something to think about if you're trying to find where to go with your car. We'll be back in just a minute. Wouldn't it be great if you could buy a car and it not depreciate in value? That would be great with just about anything that we buy, but it's just not reality. Now, there are some vehicles that you can buy that are not going to depreciate as fast as others. Trucks, for example, just any kind of Ford F-Series, Chevrolet Silverado, a Ram pickup truck, they're going to depreciate, but the depreciation line isn't as steep as it is for most passenger cars or SUVs. You know, Toyota, Tacoma is a good bet for not depreciating fast. The Nissan Frontier, the Chevrolet Colorado and GMC Canyon depreciate a little bit faster than some of the others, but they still hold their value pretty well. GMC trucks hold their value well. Jeep Wranglers are traditionally bulletproof when it comes to resale value. I think the Bronco is going to be that way, the Bronco Sport for a while. But everything right now is up. Now's not a tremendous time to try to find a selection of new vehicles out there, but there are a lot of used out there. Everything's high, but yours is worth a lot too. So, it's not all bad. Interest rates are extremely low. So if you're in the market for a vehicle and you have questions you need answered, feel free to give me a call. My cell phone number is 552-2020, and that's my job as the guru. And I appreciate you listening to my show, and we'll see you tomorrow.